The last time we got together, it was Matthew chapter 24. This is the last verse that we read, verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Nobody knows the day or the hour of the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nobody. No matter what they tell you, no matter what kind of special information they say they've got, no matter what kind of secrets they think they've discovered, nobody knows, and you can take that to the bank. Jesus said so himself. Now, we go on from there. Since but even though we don't know the day or the hour, we won't be shocked because we read this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It'll be like it was in the days of Noah, but right before the flood. The times will be like that. So even though we can't know the day or the hour, we can see the times that we live in. So of course, then the question is, what was it like in the days of Noah, right before the flood? What was it like at that time? Genesis chapter 6 tells you, and you can go back and read that when you get some time, but I'm going to just give you a few points, five I think, but at least starting with number one, there was a population explosion. Now the reason people usually question me on that, I don't blame you, you should. You should always question it and go look. Genesis chapter 6 verse 1 says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them." These are the days of Noah. Men began to multiply on the face of the earth. That tells you that bigger numbers were happening. A population explosion. Now Adam and Eve were made, were created. And of course they had children, their children had children, and the earth was being populated, yes, but it came to pass in Genesis chapter 6 that mankind began to multiply. The numbers started increasing at multiplication rates instead of addition rates. You see, demographers, or do you say demographers? Well, it depends on whether you're from Tennessee or Tennessee. Depends on where you're from. Those people who do the demographics, they tell us, and they believe that there were approximately 6 billion people alive the day the flood came. Approximately. 6 billion. Based on the facts of some of their studies, and the obvious one that the Bible tells you, they use this even, people probably lived 800 to 900 years, and of course Methuselah in 969, but a lot longer. So not only were children being born at great rates, but the fact is everybody wasn't dying as quickly as we are now. We're much better off. We'll talk about it. Anyway, 800 to 900 years, and so 6 billion people before the flood. That's a lot of people. 6 billion. To show you what I mean, we learned this from demographics as well. It took from the time of the flood, after the flood, of course, everybody was killed, except Noah and his wife, their 3 sons and their wives, and a few animals on that big ark. From the time of the flood until 1867. It took from the time of the flood until 1867, thousands of years, for world population to reach 1 billion. From the flood until 1867, thousands of years. It took that long for the world to reach 1 billion. Of course, there were plagues and there were wars in it, so you know that, like there always are and still are. Now listen to this. That was over thousands of years, 1 billion. Now, from 1867 to 1935, we hit 2 billion in 1935. That was 68 years. It took 68 years for another 1 billion to come on the scene. So there were 2 billion. Now look at this. From 1935 to 1965, at 1965, we hit 3 billion. It took 30 years to create another billion. Now from 1965 to 1985, 20 years, the population doubled from 3 billion to 6 billion. Right now, in our day and age, we're sitting at about 7 billion people. We are multiplying at an amazing rate. If the earth continues and we hit the year 2020 or so, the numbers are getting ugly at that point. 8.5 billion and more. And that's with population, or birth control, and murder, and more violence, and more people killing, and etc. Wars being more damaging, earthquakes being more violent. We're still growing at an enormous rate. One of the signs of the day that Noah lived in, right before the flood, was a population explosion. You're living in it now. And as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, point number two. Unusual sexual practices. Covered us, didn't it? The sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and of course they had sex with them. The sons of God probably were the fallen angels, demons. Unusual sexual practices. That is still taking place in many countries today. People are having sexual relations with the spirit world. Homosexuality is run rampant. It is so rampant, it is now considered fine and natural and another choice, and it has even gotten into the church, and ministers and ministers' wives and ministers' husbands and etc. are now considering themselves homosexual. Unusual sexual practices in the days of Noah. Not just the population booming, but the sexual practices were strange. Also, we read that man's wickedness was abounding on the earth. Mankind. Abounding means covering. The wickedness of man. God looked and he saw the wickedness of man was great. It was abounding. It was covering the earth. Now look at today and you will see the wickedness of mankind is abounding. It is covering this earth. There's no place to go where you'll have normal communities any longer. Point number four, when you're reading at the beginning of chapter 6 of Genesis, man's thoughts and his imaginations, mankind's, were only evil at all times. Continually wicked and evil, continually, all the time. His thoughts and his imagination. So he couldn't think anything that wasn't offensive to God, and his imagination, couldn't use his imagination without offending God. Are we living in times just like that? Yes. Take a look at the G-rated movies, supposedly for children. They are in there preaching false doctrine, false gospel. They were an abomination to the Lord. And those are simple imaginations of people who are trying to just do simple G-rated movies. Do you understand that in those days, man's thoughts and imaginations were only evil all the time? Just like today. And finally, we read, the earth was corrupt and full of violence. Corrupt. The word means spoiling or rotting or rotten. Now look at the earth today. It is spoiling. It's growing old. It's deteriorating, isn't it? I mean, I forget the latest number, but the last number that I read, we're losing the rainforest at 1 football field per second. That's 100 yards every second, the rainforest. The earth is being spoiled. Not only is wickedness, our evil and wickedness surrounding and covering, but the earth itself is spoiled and it is full of violence. Even the animal kingdom is more vicious than it has ever been. Just like in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. It'll be like those days. Now that you know that, look at, this is interesting what Jesus says, but before I go on, the rest of, we read in Genesis, says this, and it repented God that he had made man. Now God is not a man that he should repent. So we have to look and see, all right, I know the Bible doesn't contradict itself, then what do you mean it repented you, God? The word means God was literally filled with pain. God himself was filled with pain as he looked at the earth and saw that the wickedness was rampant and that the thoughts and the intentions and the imaginations of every heart on the earth was evil continually, no good. Except for Noah, who was righteous in his generation, his wife, their 3 sons and their 3 wives. That's all that entered the ark and a few animals. Everything else was killed. You say, boy, that's pretty vicious. No, isn't that loving? Isn't it a loving God who would destroy like that? Can you imagine, had he let it go on, what sin and ugliness and misery, how the suffering would have been so terrible. God, in his mercy, destroyed all of mankind. Now, as in the days of... Jesus says something that's interesting. After saying it would be like the days of Noah, when the Son of Man comes, he says this, as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, till the day that Noah entered into the ark. They were eating and drinking, they were marrying and given in marriage. Now, what on the earth could that mean? Well, I've shown you the points in Genesis 6, what it was like. What's Jesus' point then? What do you mean they were eating and drinking? Is it a sin to eat and drink? No, God made us to where we need to do that. We have to. Physically, it's a must or you will die. And they were marrying and giving in marriage, giving each other in marriage. Now, is it a sin to marry? No, it was God's idea. It's a good thing. He wants that for us, most of us. What is Jesus saying then? Let me put it in our language. Jesus is saying it will be just as it was, business as usual. They're going to get up today, just another day in paradise. That's great. We're just going to go out today. We're going to buy this. We're going to do that. Well, today's our wedding day. And you know, we've got plans. And everybody ignored that there was a strange man building a boat in a world where it had never rained ever, the Bible says. It never rained. And they weren't near water. Why would you build a boat? You're off your... You need to sit down. You're off your rocker. Something's wrong with you. Noah took 120 years to build a boat. And the Bible says, during that 120 years, it's a long time to build a boat, during 120 years, he preached to the people. And he told them, rain is coming, destruction is coming on the world, change your ways, turn back to the living God, because judgment is coming. How many listened? After 120 years of preaching, when Noah entered the boat, how many listened? None. His wife went with him, and his sons and their wives. The whole world, if there were about 6 billion people, nobody listened to the message. Trouble is coming. Jesus says it's going to be the same way when the second coming of the Son of Man happens. When he returns, it's going to be business as usual. Everybody will go on having no idea of the impending judgment that is coming, the death that is coming. Today, people run around just like... You know, when Adam in the garden, he just put his fingers in his ears because he didn't want to hear God calling. Remember, he ran and hid. And God said, Adam, where are you? Adam's hiding. Well, his sons are still running around with their fingers in their ears, aren't they? They just don't want to hear the call. Turn around. Judgment is coming upon this earth. Just like it was in the days of Noah. And the second coming of the Son of Man, those days will be like that. You're living in them. You are living in those days. You are eyewitnesses to what's going on. And it doesn't shock you. But here's what's shocking. Someone will get up today and you'll say, repent. Today's my wedding day. We're getting married today. And we're going to do this. And we're going to go to the zoo today. And we're going to have a great time. You need to stop and you need to turn back to the Lord your God. 120 years of preaching, nobody listened. Look at today. We are telling by radio, by television, by books, by cassette tape, by papers, by internet, we are, by standing on street corners, by doing outreaches, by doing anything we can think of, using Christian music, Christian drama, Christian everything, we're just trying to tell people, and isn't it amazing to you, that out of these 7 billion people, not very many people are listening. And they're all going on like it's just another day in paradise. And they think, well, I'm going to come back. If you kill yourself, you'll come back. And you'll have life after life. You come back, you get a better shot at it. You don't like your parents? Commit suicide. You'll come back and you'll have better parents. You don't like your IQ level? Commit suicide. You'll come back and have a much higher IQ level. And young people are buying into that by the thousands, by the tens of thousands, by the hundreds of thousands, maybe by the millions. Suicide rate among teens is high because they believe that you can check out and come on back in with a better library card. And it's not true. You have never been here before and you are not coming back the same way you are. So don't believe for one moment you can check yourself out and everything's going to be all right. No. You need to have Jesus Christ and you need to be ready for that day. By having Jesus Christ in your life, in your heart, God was filled with pain. Now notice, in the days that were before the flood, verse 38, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they did not know, even though for 120 years he preached it, they did not know until the flood came and took them all away. Where did it take them? to destruction, didn't it? To death. So also shall the coming of the Son of Man be. He's going to show up, and many are going to be there, and it's going to take them by surprise. Then two shall be in the field, one shall be taken, the other left. Most of my life, I believe this was the rapture. And it still looks like the rapture to some, but I got to tell you, and you need to study it and decide what you see, but I got to tell you that I remember verse 29, after the tribulation of those days, these things are going to happen, then shall the sign of the coming Son of Man be, and it'll be like the days of Noah, and when the Son of Man comes, then shall be two in the field, the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, and the other left. In the book of Luke, you read the Gospel of Luke, and the disciples ask him, they say, Lord, where are they taken? And he says, where the carcass is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Just as the people were taken by the flood, others are going to be destroyed by the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they've been warned, and they've been warned, and some of you sitting right here have heard it and heard it until you're tired of hearing it. Yet it's true, it's going to be, it will be soon. We can see by the days we live in that this earth cannot continue on this direction much longer. Something has got to give. It cannot keep going on. Now, I don't know when, but it cannot keep going on. Something must give. And I think you're going to see, once the Church of Jesus Christ is taken out, that these things will come to a rapid conclusion. Well, Jesus says, watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. That's a principle for all of us right now. You need, I need to watch. Are you watching? Because you don't know when He's coming back for you. And the principle is to be ready always. Now, the question is, are you ready? What does it take to get ready? Store up water? What does it take to get ready for Jesus Christ? You must be born again. Unless a man is born from above, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. Nicodemus says, I'm old. Jesus says, I'm speaking about your soul, about the real you. You must be born again. You need eternal life, and there's only life in Jesus Christ. Now, know this, verse 43 says, if the good man, the owner of the house, had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. If you knew when the thief was coming, you'd be right there to get him. But the truth is, you don't know. Therefore, you be ready, also ready right now, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man is coming. Be ready now. The way to get ready is to ask Jesus Christ in your life to recognize you're a sinner and that you need a Savior. And all of us, the only way to be ready is Jesus. There's no other way to be ready. He's now going to give us a parable to help us understand what it means. He says this, who then is a faithful and wise servant, verse 45, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Who is that faithful and wise servant who is placed in a position where he can serve? You and I have been placed in a position now that we can serve God. Now, sometimes you catch yourself saying, I don't really like what He's given me. I'd rather be doing what that guy does, what that girl does. But the truth is, we ought to drop that and simply say, this is what He's given me to do. I walk in circles for God. Well, then you walk for Jesus. Now, my job is to be over here at 3 o'clock every afternoon. Then you're right there at 3 o'clock every afternoon serving God, serving Jesus. That's what you're doing. A wise and faithful servant. Blessed is that servant. And the Lord returns. If the Lord comes to get us right now, do you realize you're doing exactly what He wants you to do? He said, get together. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some, but get together. So if the Lord would rapture us right now, you were doing exactly what He wanted. But imagine if you were instead, let's just say it's Thursday afternoon, and you decided, oh, you know, I'm going to head out to the movies here, and you're going to watch this movie, and you're only there for the special effects. Oh, we all are, and you know, because you don't care about the story, because all stories are garbage, right? And so there you are. And you're watching something that your eyes shouldn't even be seeing, people shouldn't even be talking about in public, and imagine Him coming and getting you then. Well, let me make a point here. Truly, I say to you, He shall make Him ruler over all His goods. God will reward and bless those who are simple, faithful servants. He says, you're wise and you're faithful. Blessed are you if He shows up and you're busy doing what He's called you to do. But let's look at the opposite side. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays His coming. Oh, Jesus isn't coming for a while. Notice He changes the same servant and He calls him an evil servant. The word evil, that may not mean what you think. The word evil means something that was once good but has soured. Or something that was once good that has begun to go bad, to rot. A lot of times this Greek word is used for fruit. You know how fruit can, if you can't refrigerate it, or sometimes if it's set too long, it begins to rot. It begins to go bad. Now you can't use it. That's the word evil here. If that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays His coming. He's not coming soon. I really don't think He's coming soon. Look, two things will happen. Number one, he begin to smite his fellow servants. He says, you know, the Lord's not coming back real soon. I just don't believe that. And so I'm prepared to stay for a while. Now, by the way, isn't the church taking on the attitude now, we are going to prepare to, just going to lock ourselves in and prepare to make it through what's coming? Have you noticed that attitude, or is it just only me? The church has lost the attitude that Jesus is coming at any moment, we need to be ready. Instead, the church is we're making plans to go another 1,000 years because we know we're not going to die. That's what cryogenics is all about. Freeze your head. Hey, Walt Disney did. His head is frozen. And he's hoping that somehow technology in the years to come can reunite it with some kind of body. He don't care whose. And that way he'll still be Walt Disney and can live forever. You think that's funny? Many people are paying $20,000 to $30,000 a month to be kept frozen for years so that technology can catch up and they can be reunited with anybody. They don't care who. Anybody. And they can live forever. Man is looking for a way to live forever. You want to live forever? Jesus Christ is the only way. But you see, in his heart, he says, the Lord's not coming soon. And what's one of the first things you see, if you find the Lord's not coming soon, notice you begin to smite fellow servants. The smite doesn't only mean to hit, but it means to attack. And it also means to attack verbally. So listen to this logic. Okay, the Lord's not coming soon, so my heart begins to not really be expecting him, and I start saying things like, that girl, she bugs me, man, what a loser. Oh, she says she's a Christian, but look at her life. I mean, look at her. And what's happening? You begin to smite a fellow servant, huh? Gossip about him, backbite, tear him down. We start to smite one another. What is that a sign of in my life and in yours? It's a sign that we don't believe Jesus is coming. We're starting to say, Lord delays His coming. So you start talking to your wife any way you think she deserves. You start treating your husband like you think he deserves instead of like God has told you. You start talking about people at church or about people out there, about your boss. What a loser. Then there's guys. He calls himself a Christian, but look at him. Amen. And listen. And what are you doing? You begin to smite your fellow servants. An evil servant, one who was good and beginning to rot and go bad, begins to say, my Lord's not coming soon. If I don't believe He's coming soon, you'll start treating people poorly, wrongly. You'll start to talk about them. Not only that, but look at the next step. The evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays His coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunken. Well, in our language, it means you begin to walk in the flesh. Carnal. Doing the same things that the world around you is doing. Because really, your heart has said, he's not coming back soon. I might as well just get all I can get. Lock myself down. I'll get through any trouble that's coming. I'll make it on the other side, but I'll say it was God. Give him the glory. Gee, you're doing great. It's the Lord. That's us. When we have no belief in our heart at all that he'll come now. And the church has lost the anticipation that the Savior will come at any moment. Haven't you seen it? I knew Jesus was coming in 1973. I knew it. Man, I knew it. I was ready. We had rapture drills. We'd stand at church and they'd yell and we'd all jump in the air. We were ready, man. And then I knew he was coming in 73. How many of you were not born again in 73? Well, two or three of you. But then I knew he was coming in 74. I knew it, man. We had rapture drills. We were ready. We would sit there thinking, come on, Lord, we're ready. I mean, you'd get so excited pretty soon. You had yourself convinced. I think I heard a noise. I'm going to run over and wake up so-and-so because we'll just fly together, man. Like Mike Wernke used to say, grab two sinners by the collar and halfway up in the air say, do you believe or do I let go? Yeah. You were ready. I mean, you talked about those kinds of things. You wanted, it was going to happen. Then in 1975, then in 1976, then 77, 78, then 89, then 90, then 95, 96. I think he might come in 99 too. I do. And if he don't, I think he'll come in 2000. And if he don't, I'll still believe if he lets me live that he'll come in 2000. I know he's coming. He's going to come back. And are you ready? And if you're ready, you won't mistreat each other because you're thinking, I don't want to be mistreating this girl because as soon as Jesus is going to show right up. I know, whoo, oh no. The last thing I was doing was telling her what I thought about her hair. Oh, great. Now how am I going to explain that? You can't say you weren't doing it. You were caught in the very act. But you'll start to walk carnally. Oh, man, we're free in the Lord. Man, when I hear that, of course we're free in the Lord. Only a weak person would have to keep reminding themselves of that. That shows me, that clues me into where they're at right away when they say, hey, I'm free, man. I do a little drugs, I do a little alcohol. You know, this sex, that we're not married, but we love one another. And I say, man, you do not believe Jesus is coming today. I know it. I know it by your attitude. I know it by what you're doing. Are you free to drink? Go for it. That's your business. But the truth is, if you think Jesus is coming back, you're going to be living a whole different life. Walking a whole different way. What's happened is your heart has started to say, he's not coming soon. I believe he's coming soon. I don't want to be someplace that he's going to not, you know, I know that I joke about this. I used to dream about this because remember, I thought he was coming in 73. I got saved and I read the book of Revelation. I mean, I've been saved 2 days. I'm reading the book, man. I haven't got a clue. I'm thinking, oh, Lord, I'm scared to death. Show up. And I'd be scared that he would come in and catch me when I wasn't ready. Because, you know, I was kind of living this life that I'd go to the enlisted men's club, you know, and we'd be hanging out there and I'd be thinking, oh, Lord, don't come back, don't come back, don't come back. I'll be out of here in another 30 minutes. Just wait, can you wait? Please don't come back. You go into a movie and you're watching this movie and the Bible says that if you watch, that you are literally taking part in the sin. I know you guys don't believe that, obviously, but the Bible does say that. And so you're taking part in that sin. So when you see this man and this woman that aren't married, they're having sex together, but it's okay because they're in love. And you're watching it on the screen. You are taking part and participating in other men's sins. And wouldn't you be a little embarrassed if Jesus goes, Bob, what are you doing here? Oh, wait. My friends, it wasn't me. I mean, they dragged me here. They drugged me. I don't know how I got hit, right? You really believe he's coming back soon? Every man that has that hope purifies himself, the Bible says. But the evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, shall begin to smite his fellow servants, eat and drink with the drunk. And then the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he is not looking for him, not expecting him. And an hour that he is not aware of shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What's the point? Jesus is saying, you don't know the day or the hour. But here is a principle. Always be ready. Be ready now. What's the point of the parable? The point of the parable is, you got to be busy doing what he has called you to do. He's called me to do this. Some people say, well, I want to do that. Well, that's great. Do it if he's called you to do it. But he's called all of us to do different things. Don't be upset that what he's called you to do doesn't seem as important as what those people are doing over there. Or, you know, what I'm doing is little, and what they do over there, that's big, and I'd rather be doing big. No. Just simply, blessed is that person who God, when he shows up, finds him busy. If my job is just to sweep this corner, you sweep that. And when Jesus shows up, oh good, Bob's doing just what I left him doing. That's what I told him to do. See, he's not capable of handling anything else. But we'll talk about that in chapter 25. About the talents and the parable. What we need to be is ready. Because Jesus is coming back. Soon. And if you will look around you and look at what's going on in the world, look at the signs of our times, you ought to be packed. Because Jesus is coming back. We're supposed to be looking up because our redemption draws nigh. We're supposed to be looking for Him. And He's coming back in the clouds. He's not going to show up out of Denver. He's coming back from heaven. So you don't need to look to the east or to the west. Look up in the air. Because our Lord is coming back. Coming to get us, He promised. So be ready. Take that heart. Ask for the heart that says, Lord, remind me you're coming. So I don't get tangled up. Entangled. And the things that are here, they're going to stop me up. They're going to slow me down. And if I don't believe He's coming, I'm going to start saying, oh, you watch so-and-so. Boy, they're not real smart, are they? Hey, have you been checking this out, gee? And here we go. We begin to spite one another, fellow servants. That's not what we want to do. We want to be ready for the Lord and be excited about His coming. Let's bow our heads together now as we close. We do ask you, Lord, to remind us. We forget. We get busy. It's not an excuse, Lord. It's just a fact of our society. We're overwhelmed. Help us, Lord, to remember. Fill us with your Spirit. That we might get excited again, like in those days where we just knew any moment we're out. We're gone. Lord, that our hearts and our minds be that way. And while we're excited, help us to stay busy. Lord, be glorified. So we worship you, Lord, and you speak to our hearts. Let us hear. Put that fire and that excitement back in place of all the apathy and the frustration. Lord, take all that and just light a fire in our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name.